Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Tracy.
And I'm just plain Bill.
And, Commander, the enemy has been engaged.
Yes, it has. You know, by the way, we should have changed the bumper music. Bumper music should have been Beethoven's Fifth.
An idea. Yeah. All right, so... let's get right into this. There's going to be a lot of stuff changing over the next hour as a larger number of polls are closing as we speak, mostly in the Midwest. So that's going to change the complexion of some things. I am following what's going on in three different ways. Actually, from the New York Times, sorry, you know, realistically speaking, they got the money to throw some really good graphics up. They're updating it fairly regularly, and visually, it gives you a pretty good idea what's going on. The one thing that I probably want to start with, and I think it's probably more than anything else, is, and this, I don't think a lot of people have paid a whole lot of attention to this. If you look at the governor's races,
yes,
Republicans have picked up two so far, Kansas and Tennessee. Mm-hmm. South Dakota and Texas have already gone. New York has gone for the Democrats. Everything else is pretty much undecided at this point. There's going to be lots of stuff going on. But here's what I find is rather interesting. This over the next year, congressional maps are going to be redrawn.
Yes.
And in most states, the person responsible for that redrawing is the governor.
Yes.
And I want you to hear what is going on right now. It looks like Republicans are going to take Florida, Texas, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Wisconsin. And when you think about electoral maps, when it comes to the presidential race, those are big states.
Yes, they are.
And if they become seriously controlled by the Republicans, not just, you know, over, you know, the fact that they're going to be run by Republicans now and a significant amount of House members are going to be Republicans, the redrawing is going to help Republicans.
Yes.
To a degree. That's going to make it probably a little bit harder for a close race for 2012 to fall into the Democratic map. So I want to see, obviously, lots more Republican governors. Unfortunately, I do believe that California will not be one of those.
Yeah, then it's not looking good right now, but you know what? The polls aren't closed yet.
Word is, and I have nothing to base my experience on, this is my first election out here, that turnout is pretty high here.
Really? Oh, sure, because of Prop 19.
Well, I don't know about Prop 19, but word is from people that I'm listening to, you know, down in this area, that turnout is high.
Okay.
So that's going to be a rather interesting thing going on. How does that play out? Republicans have picked up 12 House seats so far. They have picked up 2 Republican governor seats, and we've picked up 3 Senate seats.
Yes.
So far. We've lost Delaware.
Yeah.
Although I think everybody was kind of, that was just a real serious, hope without a whole lot of belief that was going to fall in our way.
Exactly.
I had a hope about it. Based on some of the stuff that you and I talked about and some of the other people have talked about, we're not likely to see a 100-seat swing. Well, we might see a 100-seat swing. We're not going to see 100 net to the Republicans. It's not going to be that big. But you guessed 50, and I guessed 71 in the House.
Yeah.
Actually
55, but that's okay.
Did you? Because I wrote down 50. I'll put
did
down
you?
55. I put down 55. So, some of the people that are not going in there. One of the things that I think, Butch Porter, chair of the American Conservative Party, is probably cheering himself pretty well. Virginia has gone almost completely Republican at this point in the House.
Yes.
Yes. So, yes. Sure, that's something that he's going to be pretty happy about at this point. There's only going to be one Democrat left in Virginia, and it's, of course, right around the state capital, so surprise, surprise, big city stuff.
Yeah.
So, Now, let's see what else we going on. They're calling John McCain the winner in Arizona. All right, is there anything you want to follow? Let's pick a group. Do you want to do House, Governor, or Senate first?
Well, I at this point, the networks are saying the R's are going to take over the House. So I'm kind of looking at the Senate seats. I'm looking at Pennsylvania. C-Stack, the Democrat, is up by about 100,000 votes. The problem is Philly is mostly already counted. So that looks like, we could be doing pretty good. The other one that I was really pleased about was New Hampshire, with Kelly Ayotte getting the nod there. The map that I'm looking at on Politico has got a whole lot of red there without a whole bunch of blue. Problem is the doggone northeast states there are so small that they don't hardly show up, and of course those are mostly blue. Colorado, Bennett is up, but he's only up by about 52,000 votes. So it kind of depends on how the precincts report there. Kansas has gone red. Arizona is obviously red. Oklahoma is red. Arkansas is red. Louisiana is red. Missouri, Roy Blunt is ahead by 100,000+ votes, but it hasn't been called yet. Iowa, Chuck Grassley, and nobody seriously thought that he was going to lose. Wisconsin, Ron Johnson is beating Russ Feingold, who is the incumbent, Democrat incumbent, and he's beating him by about 70,000 votes so far, with about 14.8% of the precincts reporting. Illinois is disappointing me a little bit, but Mark Kirk is about 80,000 votes behind. It's 49.7 to 45.1 to 53.3% reporting. But my guess is that Chicago has mostly been counted, and obviously that was where Alex Giannoulias' strength was. So we'll see. I don't know.
Well, the thing about Illinois is, yeah, Chicago tends to count pretty quick, but they don't report real quick.
They want to hold those back a little bit, huh?
And they want to hold those back for a while, so it'll be kind of hard to see. They like to throw out the ones that are really solidly Democrat, that are going to go overwhelmingly Democrat. They'll throw those out quick.
Yeah.
So that it looks like there's an overwhelming lead going into things. Then you find out that, you know, some of the other precincts that have ever been overwhelmingly the other side or a lot closer tend to be less count, you know, less reported quicker. So, you know, it's going to be, I think Kirk has a pretty good chance. He is really close at this point. You know, my numbers are showing a little bit more as far as the count is concerned, but for the moment, you know, I don't know that Illinois is going to switch. I personally believe they will, but that's one of those states where, you know, vote gerrymandering can seriously come into play if it's close, and right now it's too close to avoid problems there. You know, let's stay with the Senate for the moment. You know, Pennsylvania, you already, you know, mentioned. C-Stack is still up. You know, we've got, I got 67% reporting. He's up by about, you're right, about 90,000 votes at this point.
Mm-hmm.
That's too close to call for a while, unless they see a specific group that are coming in. You know, that Northeast corridor is just a really pain in the ass.
Yeah, it really is.
There's going to be, the flyover is definitely going to be red in a lot of regards. You know, I have high hopes for Colorado. I have high hopes for Colorado.
Yep, I'm sitting here open, too.
at this point, Pennsylvania, Illinois, and Colorado, they're all leaning Democrat. I think there's a good chance that they will all finish in the Republican side. You know, that will be really good. I'm very happy about Wisconsin. Feingold's getting his ass handed to him pretty bad there at this point, but we're
mm-hmm.
pretty low on the reporting side. You know, I would suggest that those numbers over the next hour will change dramatically. I don't know that they'll change enough to have any impact on things, but a lot of stuff will be reported in the next hour. Wisconsin's actually pretty quick about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. Yep. I'm relatively, happy that the Republicans at this point, I don't think can get to 50. Can they get to 50?
Boy, it's good. It really depends on Nevada, Washington, California.
I think they have to win everything else at this point to hit 50.
Yeah, I mean, they have to run the table. Yep, absolutely.
So,
yep.
We'll see. You know, I don't think it's possible. I said 9 to the Senate. You said 8.
Yep.
So, I think we're going to be closer than they will be to the total number.
Yeah.
I'm hoping will be, something that's going. I'm going to ask you to for a minute to find out something that's going on here. I'm getting a phone call from the hospital, so I want to.
Oh, okay. Super.
But I want you to talk about the House a little bit. We're up 12 at this point, and there's no hope that the Democrats are going to pick up any seats. They're only going to be able to hold stuff. So you deal with that for a few minutes, look at the numbers, run through some of the stuff, and I'll be back in a couple minutes.
Okay. So let's start up at the top of the map. We have in Maine District 2, we've got Mike Michaud, who is the incumbent Democrat, leading Jason Levesque, by about 3,000 votes. And obviously in Maine, that's probably pretty big. I don't know that I'd have any big qualms about that one. in New Hampshire, Charlie Bass is actually pretty tight. It's a 50.7 to a 44.7, 4,000 vote lead with 29.8% reporting. So, you know, kind of depends on how that one goes. Frank Guinta has unseated Carol Shea Porter. Now, that's huge. And that's about a 19,000 vote margin with 43.4% reporting. And Frank Guinta has been called for that, and that's in New Hampshire. So that's really big. We've got another little bitty one here. Barney Frank, unfortunately, is up. It's been called for him. He's up by about 35,000 votes. So Sean Bilat didn't make it, and I wish that wasn't true, but it is. John Oliver, up in Massachusetts District 1, is leading by about 23,000 votes. That's probably all over, too, and in fact, it's been called for John Oliver. All of the rest of the ones in New York, 23... District 20, all of those are grayed out, which means that they haven't been called yet. They're too close to call. There's only, you know, 5 and 6 and 7% of the vote that's been tallied. We've got some hopes in there. Another little red bright spot was New Jersey District 5. Scott Garrett, the Republican, is tagged the winner. He's ahead 65.7 to 32.3. Here's the thing that I'm seeing on this map. The thing that I'm seeing is a whole lot of red districts. You know, you get into Kentucky, Ed Whitfield, you go on over here to Kansas, District 1, Tim Hulsklamp, that race has been called. You get up here to Wyoming at large, Cynthia Loomis has been called, that's been called for her. All over Texas, I mean, boy, you look at Texas and that's just almost solid red. The ones that aren't solid are the southern and western portions of Texas, and those haven't been called yet. But it's interesting to note that most of those are pretty close. And I'm not willing to go out on a limb here and say, oh yeah, those are obviously gonna go. The blue districts, Oklahoma, Dan Boren, longtime name. I don't know, you know, how long folks have been around politics. Dan Boren has been there forever. He is a Democrat, and that's his, I think, for as long as he wants it. That is the only district in Oklahoma that is going Democrat. All of the rest of them are red Republican, already been called. So that's pretty doggone interesting. Another blue part is down in Mississippi. Benny Thompson, not a name that I know, but he's up by about 15,000 votes. So I'm guessing that, yeah, that's probably the way that's going to go. Mississippi District 1, though, is an Alan Nunnally, and he's up by about 12,000 votes with 52.3% reporting. So that was another gray thing. Another little blue one here is Alabama District 7. Already been called for Terry Sewell, 74% to 26%. Yeah, that's probably the way that one's going to go. Alabama District 2, Bobby Bright, another big name, is up by 8,000 votes over Martha Roby. And we'll see what happens there. Hasn't been called yet. Mike Rogers, who is a Republican, is up by a scant 200 votes or so in Alabama District 3. Get over into Georgia. Mike Kuhn is up by 11,000 votes, 63.1% reporting, still hasn't been called. You go over to Georgia District 12, got a 12,000 vote swing the other way to the Democrat, John Byerl. So, but the thing that I'm taking away from this is all of the red that I'm seeing, all of the grays that I'm seeing are mostly with Republicans in the lead. So that's pretty encouraging. When you look at governorships, Wyoming has been called for Matt Mead. South Dakota has been called for Dennis Daugaard. North Dakota has been called for Dave Heineman. Sam Brownback has been called in Kansas. Hickenlooper in Colorado looks like he's taken that one, 53.4 to 36.6. That's too bad. Gary Herbert is up in Utah by about 4,000 votes or so, only 0.6% reporting, though. New Mexico, Susana Martinez is up by 36,000 votes with 8.5%. So those are all going, looks like they're going Republican with the exception of Colorado. And if you'll remember, that was an interesting race because there were three people in it. Don Mace was the Republican nominee, and incidentally, he's getting 8.9% of the vote. Tom Tancredo jumped into it late as an independent with 245,000 votes. John Hickenlooper, who was the mayor of Denver, as I recall, has 358,000 votes with 10% reporting, but that's already been called for Hickenlooper, so, you know, it probably isn't going anyplace. Ohio, John Kasich is currently in the lead by about 70,000 votes, 60.8% reporting. So that could very well turn red. Michigan, Rick Snyder, it's been called for Rick Snyder. Rick Snyder is the Republican. Wisconsin, Scott Walker is ahead by 72,000 votes. Minnesota, Mark Dayton. And that is of Dayton Department Store fame, is up by 93,000 votes or so, with 16.2% already there. That Illinois race for governorship is tightening up a little bit. It's 49.1 for the Democrat and 43.6 for Bill Brady.
All right.
Excuse me. For the Bill Brady is the Republican. I have no idea who Scott Lee Cohen or Rich Whitney is. That's an interesting race. There's 62% reporting, and there's only 100,000 votes separating Quinn and Brady. So that can go one way or another. Tennessee is solidly Republican. That's Bill Haslam. Alabama is solidly Robert Bentley. That's already been called. Georgia is Nathan Deal, up by a couple hundred thousand votes. So I'm assuming that's going to get called pretty quick. Florida, Rick Scott is up by a couple of hundred thousand with 75.2%, but it hasn't been called for him yet. So we will see where that goes. South Carolina, nothing. Maybe they didn't have one. Georgia, Nathan Deal is up by 150,000 votes with 64.2% called. So that's kind of the quick rundown on the governorships. That's looking pretty good for those of us that are following that.
I'm back for the moment.
Yep, good. I just got done with governorships. I'm back on the Senate things just to see if anything changed here. Boy, there's a really solid red band that's going from Florida, on up Kentucky, Indiana, Ohio, Iowa, Missouri, Arkansas, Louisiana, Oklahoma, Kansas City, North Dakota, South Dakota, Arizona, that have all been called already for Republicans. Illinois, we're still, that race is still tightening up some. It's 48.7 to 45.9. So Mark Kirk is gaining on him. Wisconsin, oh man, does my heart good. Ron Johnson is still 60,000 votes ahead, 56.5 to 42.4. So I'm liking our odds in that one, let me tell you. So
Victoria
we'll see.
Is concerned by the Wisconsin votes. She wants to know if Feingold's going to win. I told her absolutely not.
Yep. That's looking like a pretty safe bet right about now.
But I'm kind of disappointed. Chad Lee, Wisconsin 2 on the House side. Tammy Baldwin has been the rep there for about 10 years. First openly lesbian in Congress. She doesn't show up very much back. When I was in Wisconsin, I kind of suggested that, you know, she basically did what she was supposed to do. She spent lots of time in the rural areas that are part of her district that did not go for her.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the district is older, and she's pro-Medicare, social medicine, which actually resonates with the seniors pretty well.
Yeah.
So she's up still fairly well with him, you know, against Chad Lee,
mm-hmm.
one of the few districts that I did throw money at, not much money, but I did throw some money at.
Yeah.
To actually have things go that way. I hate to see her win again. She doesn't do very much except for vote for the whatever Pelosi wants her to vote for.
Mm-hmm.
She's a seat holder. And that's about all that I can say for her at this point.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
All right, let's talk a little bit about strategy. At this particular point, Republicans look like they'll take the House. They will not take the Senate.
Yep.
Which means no legislation is going anywhere.
I think that's a pretty safe bet.
And the advantage at this point is that Obama will not be able to say it's just the Republicans obstructing things, you know, because the Democrats are going to hold the Senate.
Right.
They can't do much unless the House goes first. And can you believe Boehner? I don't know if I can believe Boehner saying that Republicans are not going to compromise with him.
I am finding that hard to believe also. I hope I'm wrong.
And I'm not inclined.
Finding it hard to believe.
Yeah, I'm not so inclined to believe that that in fact is what's going to happen.
Yep.
I think there's going to be a compromise. But there's no reason to at this point.
Mm-mm.
The only things that Barack Obama wants to do is to drive his agenda.
Yep.
And there's no part of his agenda that we should be interested in.
Absolutely not.
So,
absolutely not. And the House has an opportunity. Now, if we're strategizing, I would, if I were in the House, I would force either the Democrats in the Senate to filibuster or not consider, or in the unlikely event that some part of a Republican idea got put forth by both houses, force Obama to veto it. Let him do it. Don't be sitting there saying, oh gosh, in order to go along, we got to get along, so we're going to compromise on this. Compromise is a word that ought to go out of the Republican vocabulary. It ought not to even be a word in their dictionary. They need to say, here's the agenda. If you don't like it, that's fine. You can either not act on it in the Senate, or you can veto it if you are the president. But don't sit there and give away what you don't have to give away. Don't do that. Pretty simple.
Right. You know, my argument, and we've said it often enough, is, you know, you don't start from the middle ground and work your way towards their side.
Exactly. Yep.
Start at our principal position, and then, you know, if it needs to be done, you know, move towards the middle.
Yep.
You know, but if you don't get the movement on the other side towards the middle, you don't go to the middle and say, okay, we went this far, now you.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, I think, you know, I want to this to be the catchphrase us for the next year. As far as whenever anybody on the left says they want to do something, I want our response to be you first.
Exactly. There you go. It has become amazing to me. The last couple of days, you find all kinds of Democrats starting to talk about bipartisanship. Now this is in the face of 20 months ago, a certain individual says, I won, shut up.
Correct.
This is after Republicans got locked out of conferences. This is after secret midnight deals. And all of a sudden, we want to talk about bipartisanship. Let me tell you, I'm not from New Jersey, but they got a wonderful saying. Here's your bipartisanship.
I want to bring us up to date a little bit. I just updated the Senate map.
Mm-hmm.
84% reporting in Pennsylvania. C-STAC is up by 50,000 votes.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
3 million cast, he's up by 50,000 votes.
Hmm. Okay.
And the interesting thing about that is up in the northeast corner of Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
two more districts have turned red.
Oh, really?
Yes. So, you know, we might be seeing, you know, a change over time there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the House and I'm thinking Illinois is going to be almost entirely red.
Yeah.
The likelihood of the Senate going to the Democrats in that is probably going to be pretty slim. You know, Colorado is the same thing. With the exception of the Denver-Boulder area, the rest of Colorado is red.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pennsylvania is going to be mainly red. Pittsburgh and Philadelphia being the only real alternatives to that.
Yep.
We've already seen that in Tennessee we've got a lot of pickups in the House that has resulted in the governorship going over to the Republicans.
Yeah.
So, you know, at this point I'm kind of hopeful, you know. The Republicans are likely to become, you know, governor in Pennsylvania. I'd like to see it go to Senate side too. You know, I think that's probably a real possibility given how the House is going.
I'm trying to find Pennsylvania here. There you are.
You know, they're reporting Republicans are up 20 seats at this point. I'm encouraged by the fact that, you know, I would like to say as the House goes, so the Senate, or as the House and governorships go, so goes the Senate.
Uh-huh.
That would make me a pretty happy chick. So,
I don't know. Boy, it looks in Pennsylvania, it looks like there's a lot of red, but it looks like the population centers are, maybe not. Mike Kelly is up in Pennsylvania District 3 by 20,000 votes. I'm maybe. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm encouraged at this point.
Yeah. Boy, that thing is tightening up by the minute. C-Stack is only up by 19,000 votes at this point. 86.7% reporting. So I don't know.
I think it hasn't been called yet. I think that's going to change over a very short period of time here.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, man, Russ Johnson. Oh, my goodness. He's still 80,000 votes up.
He's just, you know, we have to wait for Madison to come in, and it hasn't yet come in. That will go strongly for Feingold.
Yeah.
So this, there's a lot of votes there, but he's almost 100,000 votes down. That's a lot of votes to be making up.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it is. I'm looking at the Senate races on Politico. Alex is up by about 23,000 votes with 69.8% reporting in Illinois. I don't know. That could still go to Kirk. Wisconsin, we're still 60,000 votes up there with Ron Johnson over Feingold for the Senate. If those two go red, if the Republican pulls that out, we've got a solid block, with the exception of Colorado. And incidentally, Colorado has not been called yet. Looks like Bennett is up by about 35,000 votes over Ken Buck, with only 10.4% reporting. So that could go red too. And if that goes red, we've got a solid block, with the exception of West Virginia, New York, Vermont, Connecticut, Delaware, Maryland. We've got a solid block all the way through the Southeast and the Midwest. And then we'll see how it goes from there. I don't know how it's going to go, but we'll see. We do have some states, obviously, that are not. The senators are not up for re-election. So we'll see. Wyoming is one of them. I don't know. But I'm sitting here seeing a really large, solid block of red, and that's making me happy.
the key that I'm graphic that I'm looking at is, am I seeing any Democratic pickups?
Exactly.
And the answer to that is a resounding no.
No.
I'm seeing, if it was Democrat, they're holding some places. But those places that are being held are going to be significantly surrounded by, a sea of Republicans.
Yeah.
Mississippi is going to have one Democrat. Georgia's going to have two.
You're going to like this one. Under governors?
Yeah.
South Carolina? Nikki Haley is up by 48,000 votes with 76.7 reporting.
I expect that one is going to go for her.
I'm hoping.
We'll see how things are going. I still want to think about, what does this mean, generally speaking? I think we're going to see a whole lot of inaction in Congress, a whole lot of spinning the wheels and not a whole lot of motion.
Yep.
If Boehner can, take the heat, I think he can really make Obama's life miserable. I think Obama will become much more strident and much more, derogatory in his comments.
Mm-hmm.
More frustrated he's going to get, the worse it's going to get for him.
Absolutely. I mean, he is going to go back to what he's comfortable with, which is his far left wing base, which only comprises about 20% of the electorate. If you just look at the whole guy, I mean, his language, he calls us enemies.
They are now calling Pennsylvania on the governor's side for the Republicans.
Are they really? Yes.
Yep.
Yes,
you know,
indeed.
I think that bodes very well, you know, for Toomey. Let's see if I can get an update on that at this point.
Yep. I'm thinking you're right.
We are with 88% reporting. There is 8,000 votes between them. Up by 8,000 votes.
Wow.
You know, and that's gonna. I think that'll change in the next half hour or so.
Yep. Yes, indeed.
They haven't changed anything new since there, but I think that's going to be there. Once Pennsylvania went there, that's good. I mean, you know, Pennsylvania going to be on the governor's map. That's, you know, Michigan's going to be, you know, in the governor map. These are all good opportunities to do a little bit of gerrymandering on for our benefits.
Yep. Absolutely.
So,
I mean, as long as that's the name of the game, you better play it.
They've called two more Republican races that they already held. Not certain where those two additional seats came from. But they haven't picked up any additional at this point. One more in Pennsylvania. Up in the Erie area. Up in the northwest. The Upper Peninsula of Michigan has gone. That's the other place. A nice pickup for us.
Yes, Dan Beneschek.
You ran away with that one. Ran away
yep.
with that one.
Yep.
You know,
absolutely.
10 points between them. So, I'm what's going on in New Hampshire?
In New Hampshire?
In New Hampshire?
Mm-hmm.
New Hampshire is going red.
That would be Kelly Ayotte on the senator's side, I think.
Yeah, and
I got to get back to that.
New Hampshire is going seriously red. What is going up in New Hampshire that they're going seriously red?
Well, Kelly Ayotte.
Blue.
And
all that's blue.
Kelly Ayotte doubled her opponent, Paul Hodes. 63.4 to 33.7 with 43.2% reporting.
Are you ready?
And, yeah?
89% reporting in Pennsylvania. They have just changed it to red with Pat Toomey ahead by 1,500 votes. They're calling it 50-50 at this point.
Oh, boy, yeah. I think political is just a little bit behind. Yeah.
And Illinois has gone red. Kirk is now up by 9,000 votes.
Oh, how cool. Yes. Yep.
Oh, Illinois, Wisconsin, Wisconsin is definitely, we're talking Senate here. Wisconsin has definitely gone red in the Senate. Feingold is no longer employed.
He's toast.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Thank
you for your service. Goodbye.
I'm liking this. You know, Missouri, Illinois, Ohio, Pennsylvania. People pick those states all the time and say as they go, so goes the country.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to leave awful few blue places in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Florida. Is already gone for us. you know, it's just, you know, I'm just loving it.
Yeah.
So, let's update governors here.
Yeah, I'm looking at those right now. Michigan has been called for Rick Snyder. I think that's still. Pennsylvania has been called for Tom Corbett over Dan Honorato. Ohio,
Wyoming.
John Kasich is in the lead. Yep.
Wyoming, that was the other one that just switched over.
Yes.
That's
Nat Mead over Leslie. Oh, my goodness, 70.2 to 26.2. Oh, my gosh.
Mead just took him to dinner.
I guess.
Yeah, and Kasich is actually up quite a bit at this point. He's up by almost 70,000 votes. You know, that's good. I mean, we're not going to win Illinois. That's not going to happen.
No, I'm...
You know what?
There's less than 100,000 votes separating them.
What, in Illinois?
In Illinois.
Yeah, no, sorry. You know, the reality is...
Okay.
No matter how often you have a Republican elected as governor, he usually ends up in jail.
Well, they all wind up in jail. I mean, you know, you can't hardly pick up a newscast without somebody reporting that, oh, yeah, another Illinois politician has been indicted or has been convicted on corruption charges. It gets pretty silly there.
All right. One last update, and then we'll talk a little bit more for the things that we can expect over the next, you know, year or so. Is there anything that the Republicans can actually do that the Tea Party wants them to do? I think the answer is no.
I think it depends on how they play it.
Well, they're not going to be able to repeal health care.
Nope, but they can defund.
They can defund because any money bill has to come out of the House, and they can simply refuse to do that.
Yep.
And, you know, so they can definitely starve things there.
Yep.
That's the case. But at the same token, you know, all Obama has to do is, you know, any spending bill that comes out of there that doesn't include what he wants to, he can simply just, you know, ignore a veto. You know, I'm really kind of hoping at this particular point, and I think it's going to be really beneficial. You're right. I think the Republicans have to play it right. I think they can shut down the government in October.
I think they can force Obama to shut down the government.
Right.
And that did not work well for the Republicans when they did it before.
Right, because they got blamed for it.
Yeah, exactly. So it depends on how they play it. If they send him a completed bill and Obama vetoes it, that's on him. And then he gets to shut down the government. Remember, that's complicated because the Democrats are going to continue to control the Senate. But that's okay. Put it on the Senate Democrats.
You know, and the only place Democrats have control is in the major urban centers.
Exactly. So
I'm looking at Indiana that has gone mostly red, except for the Gary area.
Mm-hmm.
East area up near Chicago. Looking at most of Virginia going red. Looking at large chunks of Ohio and Pennsylvania going red.
Yep.
You know, I'm looking at, Maryland has red. New Jersey, lots of red there. Lots of these changes. Louisiana has gone completely red. Florida is just about completely red at this point. You know, there's not going to be a whole lot of Mississippi left red, you know, and with the exception of the St. Louis area and Chicago, you know, Illinois is red. And Wisconsin, with the exception of the Madison area, is going to be red. You know, Tammy Baldwin is likely to be the only Democrat from Wisconsin.
Wow.
You know.
Wow.
Victoria will actually be happy about that. You know. But she's going to feel really lonely out there. We got two more Republican seats have been picked up. Where are they?
Well, I don't know.
I don't see it. Where else got picked up?
Uh-oh.
Two more seats.
Two more seats?
Mississippi, maybe? No, it was already there.
This is on the House side or what?
Yeah, on the House side. Two more seats have gone to the Republicans, but I can't see where it's gone.
Hmm.
Okay. Let's look at, let's get an update here. We have, how much time do we have? Don't want to run into a Trump like we did last time. We're running up right in the last 10 minutes. We've got 8 minutes left.
Yep.
Okay. So, I'm definitely not going to win our contest here. So,
my goodness. There's only 5,000 votes separating Lincoln Chafee and John Robitaille in Rhode Island. Wow.
Wow. In the House?
In the governor's.
I'm kind of
focusing right now on your theme about redistricting. And I'm saying, yeah, okay. Texas is the big win because that's going to pick up 4 seats. So we're going to see what happens with other folks. I don't know. Don't know. It's too soon to tell, but and I have not seen the census numbers yet. I just know that I read the other day that Texas was going to pick up 4 seats based on preliminary data. That's obviously coming from someplace. Wherever it's coming from, if that's a Republican governor, they can do some wonderful things. In terms of, oops, what's Fox saying? Ooh. Well, let's see. The House has picked up 29 on the R side and 2 on the Democrat side, according to Fox News.
Republicans, I'm showing total 151 for Republicans, up 23 at this point. Nebraska's fully for Republicans.
I can't believe this. I'm looking at Florida House race, District 23, which is Elsie Hastings. Elsie Hastings, you will recall, is the federal judge who was impeached, and so consequently went and ran for the House, and he is up so doggone big. I don't understand how in the world he gets elected. It just doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Being buried, dude.
Yeah, I guess.
You know? They just can't help themselves.
I guess.
I mean, look at Detroit. I mean, you know.
Yep.
You just end up with a situation where over and over and over again, it's there. Okay, so, I'm looking at the Senate seats. I just, put it back up. Toomey's up by 15,000 votes in Pennsylvania. Kirk is up by 11,000 votes in Illinois. Johnson's up by almost 80,000 votes in Wisconsin. That's a done deal. Colorado, Bennett's going to beat Buck there. I got a sneaking suspicion he's up by 42,000 votes at this point. It's got a lot of reporting to do, but there's an awful lot of red in Colorado at this point. I just wonder where it would go. I'm afraid of California. I'm just afraid of California.
California is not.
On the propositions, if the teachers union was for it, I voted against it.
pretty much. Yeah.
I did vote for Prop 19.
You did? Okay.
Sure.
That's okay. You and I canceled each other out.
It fits with my principles.
Yeah, well.
The San Diego wanted a half a cent more of sales tax to save the fire department.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that will go down to defeat. It didn't seem to be going over very well. We have about 3 minutes left. Let's do one more update on the Senate. We'll run through them real quick. And we'll look at the governorships to see how they're running. And then, we're going to have a whole bunch more polls closing as we finish. They've called North Dakota for the Republicans. So that's a pickup there, expected pickup there. 21,000 votes between Toomey and CSTAC at this point, 92% reporting. Kirk is up by almost 20,000 votes. He's pulling away in Illinois. Wisconsin's a done deal, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Colorado, I think that's a lost opportunity for us there.
I don't know. There's only 19.1% reporting. I'm not willing to be an Eeyore yet.
Okay. Governor map. We've picked up another state, which was the other state that we just picked up.
It's been called for, in Pennsylvania, it's been called for Corbett, the Republican. Michigan has been called for the Republican.
Colorado has been called for the Democrats.
Hickenlooper, yeah. Yep. Even with 18.5%, he's got a better than 100,000 point lead.
The one they have called Nikki Haley in South Carolina.
Ah, excellent. Excellent.
So, Alabama has gone, there. So,
red.
Getting a lot more red governors down there. Okay,
yep.
One last look at the House. How much time we have left here? You want to revise your pick? You want to stay with 55?
Nah, I'm sticking with 55. I'm good with that.
I have 71. I'm not going to get to 71. But I'll revise mine. I'll be optimistic like you.
Okay.
I'll leave it at 55. I'd like to see it higher. I'm going to revise it. I'm going to say 61.
Okay.
I'm going to say 61.
Okay. Works for me. I'm happy with that. Betcha.
61 would be good. Victoria will be happy that, her Tammy Baldwin looks like she's going to hold on, the only Democrat running from there. Otherwise, it is going to be a sea of red moving across.
Yep. Yep.
There's no new blue, lots of new red. I'm showing right now up 25. We're done. You got 30 seconds.
Hey, thanks for listening, folks. Louise Ama, and I know Arkansas Traveler wasn't on there, but Hallie 5, if you were there, and all of you folks, thanks for tuning in. It's going to be an interesting night and a late one.
And we'll talk about it more next week.
Yeah.
Bill, we're going to cut it out tonight, so no green room.
All righty.
Everyone else, have a good evening.
You too.
We're off.
All righty. Talk to you later, Tracy.
What's going on at the hospital. I could not get through to them.
Uh-oh.